Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. Coming up in this hour, science fiction. Later on, we hear the second broadcast ever of X-1, but right now it's 2000+, a broadcast called The Brooklyn Brain, heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on June 21st, 1950.
Joe? All I gotta say about Joe is, he really is a smart guy. It takes a smart guy to be that stupid.
2000+. Science fiction adventures from the world of tomorrow, the years beyond 2000 A.D. 2000+ presents The Brooklyn Brain.
I want to thank you for a very nice evening.
The pleasure was all mine, Clarice.
I'd have you come up, only it's after 12 and Pa's asleep.
That's all right.
Well, good night, Joe.
Clarice?
Yeah, Joe.
You had a good time, huh? I mean, really?
Good night, Joe.
Oh, well, wait a minute, Clarice. I got something to ask you.
No.
No what?
No kiss. I gave you one in the helicopter bus. I am not distributing my favors with largesse.
Boy, you certainly know big words.
That's because I try to give myself culture. Every day in the facsimile newspapers, I do the crossword puzzle.
Well, sure, Clarice. I think that's fine. Only I got something to ask you.
I told you.
That isn't what I mean.
Something else?
Clarice, will you marry me? I mean, that is... Will you?
This is so sudden.
Gee, I've known you 3 years. That ain't so sudden.
Well, a girl likes to get proposals, but matrimony, oh, that's a very important thing. It should not be entered into lightly.
I got a good job, a good future.
It isn't that, Joe.
What isn't that?
I mean, like they say in psychology.
I don't know what you're talking about, Clarice.
That's what I mean, Joe. You don't understand things like psychology. I always read the Handy Hints for Mental Health column. It's written by a psychologist. From such pursuits, I have learned that culture is what counts in life or marriage. The partners have to have a mental affinity for each other.
Mental?
Take Sam Witzenberg. He knows about music. Or Fred Daniels. He knows about art. Or take Harry Lester. He knows economics.
He knows economics? I had to loan him $5.
What has money got to do with it?
Huh?
Joe, leave us not quarrel.
Yeah, but I was...
You have paid me a very high honor by asking me to be your wife. But I can't say yes.
Oh, you mean...
On the other hand, I didn't say no. I can't pretend I don't like you, Joe. You're basically a nice boy. Only if... Oh, if you'd only get some culture. Learn about things so we could have something to discuss, to talk about.
Art? Music? Economics?
Or similar high-class subjects. See what you can do.
Okay, Clarice. I'll try.
And then I'll let you know.
Sure.
And... Joe?
Yeah?
In light of the circumstances, I rescind my previous refusal.
What does that mean?
It means you can have a good night kiss.
Are you ready, Carl?
Yes, Professor.
Now remember, after I throw the switch, it will take several seconds for the accumulator to build up. When the red light on the control panel flashes, you throw your contact lever.
I understand.
Oh, all right. All right. 1, 2, 3. It's working, Professor. It's working.
Oh, good. Excellent. Try it again. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, Carl. Turn it off. Now, I've checked every dial, every meter as the machine was running, and they all coordinated precisely.
Then it will work on a human being.
Are you sure enough to let me try it on you?
Well, it isn't that, Professor. It's just that... you kind of need me to help you run the machine.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I understand, Carl. And since I am the inventor, it would also be foolish for me to volunteer to be the first human guinea pig. Well, obviously, we need someone else to try it on.
That's right, Professor.
Imagine. 11 years' work. Here is a machine that takes a tape recording of a human voice reading facts, figures, or anything, and transforms it from sound waves into electrical waves. Then, through electrodes attached to a human head, charging that brain with the waves so that automatically the person getting the electrical shock has information charged into his memory.
It will be a boon to education. Oh. People won't have to go to school anymore. Your brainwave machine will just charge their brains with anything they want to know.
Thank you. Well, there's a lot of experimenting we have yet to do, but so far as we can know up to this moment, the machine should work, I hope.
Now, whom are you going to try it on?
Well, we'll run an ad. We're trying to find someone, not too bright, but someone we can try to transform into a mental giant.
Hello. Yes, sir, this is Joe. We sent him 6 dozen boxes like he ordered. 10-day billing. Yes, sir, I'll attend to it right away. Flora, take the letter. The boss ain't got a check from St. Louis and he's mad.
It doesn't pay to be mad. It's not good for customer relations. So whom is the letter going?
Dear sir.
Dear sir, who? Aren't you feeling well?
Gosh, I don't know, Flora. I guess my mind ain't on my work.
Where is it?
I'm going to Clarice's Thursday night for dinner.
She's your girl. It should make you happy. Be happy.
But she's having Sam Witzenberg for dinner, too, and he's got culture.
You got a job.
Flora, you're a smart girl. You know how to find things in the files. Tell me, how do I learn about things? How do I get culture?
Study.
How much time have I got? Thursday is 3 days from now. What can I learn in that time?
Not culture.
That's what I mean. I'm licked before I start.
I have a teacher.
That's expensive.
So stay a bachelor.
But I don't want
to. Oh, look. Look, here's a newspaper. I'll turn to the educational section. Here it is. French. Well, I'm French.
What would I do with French?
What will you do with culture after you get married?
Look, I'm
only trying to be helpful.
Go on, Flora. What else is there?
How to hypnotize. And 9 easy lessons.
Hey, that's interesting.
If you learn how to hypnotize, I won't work for you anymore. Oh, here's another ad. If you would like to learn any subject in the world without effort and are willing to volunteer for a scientific experiment, write to Box 1934, the Facsimile Times.
Hey, I don't like that volunteer for scientific experiment part.
But it also says, if you would like to learn any subject in the world without effort.
Do you think I should write them?
All you lose is a stamp. Use a company stamp, you lose nothing.
Okay. So since I'll never get culture just wishing for it, take a letter. Dear sir.
We starting that again? Dear sir, who?
Dear sir, Box 1934, the Facsimile Times. In response to your advertisement, permit me to say that I would very much like...
Carl, have you read these letters from people who want to volunteer for our machine?
All 6 of them.
Do you think it's wise to take people of such mentality?
Well, it would be a good test for the machine.
Yes, but almost any change would be an improvement for them, judging from the letters.
Whatever else may be said, Professor, the people who wrote those letters are human beings.
Yes, I suppose so.
And we need a human being to test with. After all, so far, the only living thing we have used was a dog.
Ah, but the dog lived. It proves the machine's electrical charge in the head does not kill.
The charge doesn't kill, but does it force knowledge into the brain? We beamed a recording of the Einstein theory into the dog. But the dog can't talk. What good is it to him?
But, Carl, doesn't it give you satisfaction to know that because of our invention, there is one dog in this city who actually knows the Einstein theory? Did any dog know the theory before our invention?
No.
All right. So we have reason to believe the machine will work. That is why we are looking for a human being, just to be sure.
But which one of these letters, which one of these people shall we take?
Well, whichever one has the greatest need for knowledge.
They all need it.
Yes, but I mean, whichever one believes he needs it most. That person will have an incentive to cooperate with us.
In that case, this one.
Flora, look. I got a letter. They selected me.
Congratulations.
It says here, please choose your subjects. Art, music, economics, that's for me.
You should also add another subject. How to get St. Louis to pay its bill.
That ain't culture.
Who says the ladies' garment business is culture?
Gosh, Flora, you know what I mean. Like Clarice says, there's more to living than just having a job.
You ever try living without a job?
Art, music, economics. I'll show Sam Witzenberg he's not the only one who knows those things. I'll show Clarice, too.
Did I call the number on this letter and make an appointment for you?
Would you, Flora? Gee, thanks a lot.
Okay. Hello? I'm calling for Mr. Joe Martin. You sent him a letter about... Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he'd like an appointment. Today? Oh, Joe, is today all right?
The sooner the better.
Mr. Martin is in conference now, but I believe it could be arranged. Yeah. Art? Music? Economics? No, you pick one for today. To him, it makes no difference. Thank you.
Well?
Here's the address. After 12 o'clock today, you'll have culture.
Now, Mr. Martin, if you'll just lie down here on this surgical table.
Surgical table? I didn't come for an operation. I came for an education.
Oh, and you shall get one, my boy. You shall get one. After today, you'll be an expert on art. You know, painting and sculpture and all that sort of thing. Lie down, please.
What are you going to do?
Well, you see, Mr. Martin, you have brain waves.
I have?
Everybody has.
You see, the brain gives off power. That's why. Now, what we do, to describe it simply, is play a recording of some subject you want to learn. Now, the sound waves are transformed into electrical waves and are charged into your brain. The result is, you have the knowledge impressed into your mind. Isn't that wonderful?
I just remembered I got another appointment.
Oh, no,
Mr. Martin, in your letter you said you wanted to show your girl that you could learn things, be smart, get culture.
Where did I put my head? Here or there?
Your head up here, your feet down there. Splendid, splendid. Now, Carl, attach the electrodes to his head, will you?
Yes, Professor.
Will it hide?
You will never know what hit you. Not at all. Just relax, Mr. Martin.
Everything is ready, Professor.
All right, Carl. One, two, three. Now, it's just warming up, Mr. Martin. Don't be so nervous.
No, sir.
Shall I start the recording now?
In one moment. You see, Mr. Martin, Carl will start the recording that he dictated this morning, and then I'll charge the knowledge into your brain. You see? Begin the recording.
Yes, Professor.
Among the new school of paintings which have excited modern critics and which are likely to have a profound effect upon future interpretive forms, the new circular school of impressionistic painting is outstanding.
Now, for the charge.
Employing vibrant...
How is he, Professor? Is he all right?
Oh, he's a little glassy-eyed.
Maybe we better stop the experiment.
No. We'll try it once more. Only speed up the recording so we can charge his brain more quickly.
All right, if you say so. Here goes.
Coordinate relationships which stimulate the senses and excite the imagination. The circular school manages to get around traditional obstacles of comprehensibility. Among the leading exponents of the circular school of impressionistic painting, Daguerre and Martinelli are...
Now, the charge.
Another school which has managed to retain...
That's enough, Carl. Shut up the equipment.
He is alive, isn't he?
I think so. Mr. Martin. Mr. Martin. Wake up, Mr. Martin. He's coming to.
What happened? Oh, is it over?
Yes, that's all for today.
And I got culture?
So far as we know, everything seemed to work.
I got a headache, too.
Would you like a glass of water?
No, I think I better go now. I gotta get back to work. So long, fellas.
I wonder if the experiment really worked.
I'm worried about him, too. Because even if the experiment did work, we speeded the record up so fast. Good heavens, Professor, what if he ends up talking like Donald Duck?
Oh, Sam, you play the piano so beautifully.
Sam Witzenberg is not known as the Beethoven of Brooklyn for nothing.
I know exactly what you mean. When Myrtle Baker said you looked like a bum, you never got a haircut, I said it's because you're artistic. Not getting a haircut, I mean. Oh, excuse me, there's the doorbell.
More company?
It's probably Joe.
That peasant.
Now, Sam, don't you and Joe start anything.
Hello, Clarice.
Come in, Joe.
Nice party.
I hope you like it, Joe.
Clarice, have you made up your mind yet?
Made up my mind?
You know, Clarice, about us.
Joe, this is not the place to pursue that question.
Well, I just thought that maybe if you...
I don't know yet, Joe. Come into the party.
Sure, Clarice.
Well, if it isn't Joe. How are you, Joe?
Hello, Sam.
Sam was playing the piano.
Yeah, I heard.
Read any good books lately, Joe?
Well, we're taking inventory at the store, and I've been kind of busy.
Yeah, Joe works very hard.
A hard head? You gotta work hard, eh, Joe?
The only reason you got a soft head is you got so much hair on it, it's like a mattress.
But, Clarice says it's artistic.
Clarice says... Did you say that?
Well, I meant he looks like an artist. Artists wear long hair.
And, speaking of artists, Joe, what do you think of the new secular school of impressionistic painting?
Well,
Do you think the dynamism of the blues is more effective than the interpretive qualities of the vibrant yellows?
Well, the real...
Sure, Joe. You're absolutely right. By the way, Clarice, how about you and I go to the Arts Institute tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, that's very nice, Sam, but... Joe, what's the matter?
Sure, go with him to the Art Institute. Maybe he'll get a job. They'll use him as a hair mop to dust the paintings with.
Joe!
You want to know what I think about the new circular school of impressionistic paintings? I'll tell you. I think the brushwork of Daguerreau is infinitely superior to the technique of Martinelli, but that the interpretive approach of both of them is immature.
Joe!
You're so smart, Sam Witzenberg. Let me ask you a few questions. Why does Gregory Thompson, the British impressionist, conceive all legendary characters in his paintings as cubistic? Why?
Well, it's because
why, Sam?
I don't know.
Sam, you don't know? You don't know they're cubistic because Thompson is a cubist and not a circular school at all? You didn't know that, huh?
But I...
You're a blockhead. So you of all people should know a cubist. Now, let me tell you something else. The important news in art circles is the recrudescence of 19th century painting with particular emphasis on the portraiture of that period. In fact, I think I will go myself tomorrow to the Art Institute and just look at that 19th century stuff. Would you like to come, Clarice?
Joe.
Okay. Now, we can't go tomorrow. It's Friday. I gotta finish inventory.
Oh, that's all right, Joe. We'll go Saturday. Anytime you say, Joe.
Okay. But you only go with me to the Art Institute, you understand?
Oh, yes, Joe.
So,
What are you going to do tomorrow, Sam?
I think I'll get a haircut.
Hello, Flora.
Da-da-da-da. Dee-dee-dee. All ready for a morning's work. Where's that file from St. Louis?
You feeling all right, Mr. Martin?
Great. Like $1,000,000.
All from culture?
Flora, you should have been there. I was so smart, the words were so big, even I couldn't understand what I was saying.
That's some education you got.
Science is wonderful. Imagine those professors doing what they did to me. They shoot me full of brainwaves. One minute I'm a dope, and the next minute I'm an expert on...
Art? Music? Economics? Which one is it?
I don't remember.
That's not good.
Let me think. Sam was there. Art. It must have been about art because tomorrow I'm taking Clarice to the Art Institute.
If you're going there, you really must have said something.
I know, but I can't remember what it was. Flora, ask me some questions. Maybe it'll come back to me.
Why do you like pictures?
I don't know.
Yesterday I saw a picture in a magazine. Looked like four soap boxes in the junkyard. It was called Sunset in Hawaii. Magazine said it was a cubist picture. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Couldn't you explain it even if you couldn't understand what you were saying?
No.
You need another shot in the head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Flora, call the professors and make me another appointment. I got to take Clarice to the Art Institute tomorrow. And I can't remember anything at all.
Now, Mr. Martin, please don't be so nervous. Just answer my questions.
But she's my girl. I'm finally making progress, and this has to happen.
Yes, Carl, put on the recording again. Let Mr. Martin hear it.
Yes, sir.
No obstacle to comprehensibility. Among the leading exponents of the circular school of impressionistic painting, Daguerreau and Martinelli are perhaps best known. Another school which has managed to retain some influence on contemporary trends, despite the vigorous onslaught of the Impressionists, is that group best exemplified by the work of Gregory Thompson, who's an Impressionist.
There, now, you remember that, don't you?
I don't remember it, and I don't understand it.
But we charged your brain with that information.
You charged it, you try to collect it. I don't know where it is.
Carl, I'd like to talk to you alone for a moment. Excuse us, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, sure.
You're sure the machine worked properly when we experimented on him?
When I dismantled the machine this morning, everything was perfect.
But what could have happened?
Apparently, it makes only a brief impression on the brain, about 24 to 36 hours.
Oh, that's terrible.
What's terrible about it? At least we're on the right track. In a year or two, we'll perfect it so people can remember all the time.
People can learn things even if we don't perfect the machine. But what I most regret is, there's no longer a dog in the whole world who knows the Einstein theory.
Well?
I'm sorry, Mr. Martin, but obviously the experiment wasn't as successful as we had hoped it would be.
Well, then give it to me again. Professor, I just gotta know about art. I'm taking Clarice to the Institute tomorrow.
Couldn't you take her to a movie instead?
But I'm not afraid anymore. Put those things on my head again. Give me 1,000,000 volts. I like it.
Well, I'm afraid that's impossible. You see, we dismantled the machine.
Huh?
We're moving it to a laboratory upstate. It will take at least a month until we put it together again.
A month? But tomorrow...
I'm sorry, Mr. Martin.
Clarice won't marry me now.
Oh, hello, Joe. You're right on time for our trip to the Institute. Oh, I'm so excited. Come in, Joe.
Hello, Clarice.
We'll see all the pictures and you'll explain them to me, won't you, Joe?
Clarice, there's something I want to tell you.
Yes, Joe.
It's about my culture.
about what I said about art the other day.
Oh, Joe, you were wonderful. I thought Sam Witzenberger dropped dead. You know what? After you left, he said you knew more about art than anybody he ever knew.
He said that?
And you were so masterful when you told him you were taking me to the Institute.
I was?
Oh, Joe. Joe, I got something to tell you.
You have?
I made up my mind. Joe, don't you understand? I made up my mind. I accept your proposal.
You mean you marry me?
That's right, Joe. You got culture. We'll have a mental affinity.
Clarice, listen. Let's get married right away, today. Let's not even go to the Art Institute.
Oh, but Joe...
I'll take a leave of absence. We'll go away on a honeymoon for a month.
A month?
A whole month. And then when we get back, then we got time for culture. I promise you, after 1 month, I will absolutely be charged with culture.
Oh, Joe, this is so sudden and so romantic. Oh, but I don't have a trousseau. I need clothes.
Look, I work in the ladies' garment business. I'll go to the store. I'll get you all the clothes you need. Only let's get married and not go to the Art Institute.
Oh, Joe, you're so smart. You think of everything.
I do?
I'll bet you even know the Einstein theory.
Next week, 2000 Plus presents a thrilling melodrama of adventure and terror. Be sure to listen.
2000 Plus on Tuned to Yesterday from June 21st, 1950 from the Mutual Broadcasting System. It's an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now what would become the most prestigious science fiction show that NBC would ever produce, it's X-1 with their second broadcast ever from May 1st, 1955. The series would be on air through January of 1958. This episode, co-written by resident writers and adapters for the show, George Lefferts and Ernest Canoy, called The Parade.
Countdown for a blast-off. X-5, -4, -3, -2, X-1. Fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years. On 1,000 maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X-1. If you wanted to take over our world with a minimum amount of resistance and trouble, how would you go about it? Tonight we'll tell you how. With a strange and chilling story by George Lefferts, The Parade.
You are Mr. Sid Ryan.
The same.
My name is Luchar. I am a Martian.
Ah, pleased to meet you, Mr. Lu... What was that again?
A Martian.
As in Orson Welles?
Precisely.
I'm a Rotarian myself. Sit down.
Thank you.
Now that we've had our little joke, Mr. Luchar, what can Publicity Associates do for you?
I am interested in obtaining publicity. It has been my observation that advertising and publicity are the very backbone of earthly civilization.
Spoken like a true Martian, Mr. Luchar. Now, if you'll tell me the name of the client...
The client, of course, will be the Martians.
You don't give up, do you?
Give up?
The gag, I mean. Oliver...
Yes, Mr. Ryan?
This is Mr. Luchar.
Oh, how do you
Mr.
do?
Mr. Luchar claims to be a Martian. Take him outside, will you, Oliver?
I am happy to see, Mr. Ryan, that my telling you I am a Martian has approximately the effect I guessed it would. I believe we can do business. I have here cash retainer of $5,000.
Oliver. Take a look at that wad of lettuce.
It's the real stuff, Mr. Ryan.
And my client is prepared to spend many times that amount.
Well, sit down, Mr. Luchar. Oliver, get the client a cigar, the 50-cent box.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Well, now, what can I do for you, sir?
I wish you to manage a publicity campaign. A very large and important campaign.
Is the product established, or is it something brand new?
Something quite new. Now, what would you judge the most effective type of campaign?
Well, if the client has a lot of dough to throw around, a suspense campaign is best. First, you place ads in the paper saying, "Watch this space." Then, about a week later, you run an ad saying XYZ or PDQ, and you get people guessing what it means. Then, finally, when you've teased them enough, you bust loose and unveil the product.
Excellent. We will conduct a suspense campaign.
Of course, in this kind of campaign, secrecy is very important. Once the name of the product leaks out, it spreads like wildfire, and the whole campaign is kafloppo.
Quite so, quite so. The utmost secrecy.
You realize, of course, these things cost like crazy.
Would, say, $1 million cover expense? Hey,
come again?
I said, would $1 million cover it?
Why, yes, I imagine. You did say $1 million.
I understood that you have handled some very large accounts. Of course, if this is too big...
No, not at all, not at all. As a matter of fact, I seldom touch anything less. Right, Oliver?
Huh? Oh, of course, that's right, Mr. Ryan. Absolutely right. Yes.
You will begin, then, by saturating the newspapers, the radio, the streetcars with a very simple statement.
What's that?
I will write it on a card. Here you are.
The Martians are coming. Hey, that's not a bad teaser. Got that, Oliver?
Yes, sir.
The next ad will read, June 1st is Martian Day.
June 1st is Martian Day.
What happens on June 1st?
The parade takes place.
What parade?
I wish you to arrange a parade up Fifth Avenue.
You mean like the Macy Parade?
Exactly. Except that the theme will be the world of tomorrow, the Martian world. My client would like it to be a gay affair. Balloons, clowns, pennants, pretty drum majorettes.
Say, that sounds terrific. I might be able to interest the department stores in a tie-in.
Fine. The parade will climax the campaign. On June 1st, the product will be unveiled.
Good enough. By the way, Mr. Luchard, just what is the product? What are we selling?
Oh, no, Mr. Ryan. Secrecy, remember?
Yeah, but after all...
Ryan... All will be revealed to you in good time. For the moment, let us say that we are selling a concept.
A concept?
The concept of invasion from Mars.
Sorrel Talent Agency.
Sammy Sorrel, please.
This is Sammy.
This is Sid Ryan over at Publicity Associates. Listen, Sammy, how are you fixed for midgets?
I got midgets.
Fine, I need 40 midgets for a parade. 40. June 1st. And listen, Sammy, I want them dressed in little spacesuits.
In little...
You know, like men from Mars.
Mars.
Okay? And I want some movie extras, maybe 50 of them.
50.
Also rigged up like men from Mars. Make them look gruesome. Got that?
Gruesome.
Also, I need some horses with pretty girls on top of them. Maybe you can get that bunch from Maroney's Traveling Circus, the one we booked for the Fireman's Parade in Albany last year.
Yeah, I'll try, Sid.
Never mind the expense. Just get me the talent.
It sounds like you landed a big client there. Who is it?
It's a secret. I gotta hang now. Call me back, Sammy.
Right.
How you doing, Oliver?
Oh, fine, Mr. Ryan. Just fine. I got 100 small boys pasting little stickers. The Martians are coming on the subway platforms.
Good.
We got full-page ads in all the dailies.
Good.
And 10-second spot announcements on every local station.
Good.
It's costing a fortune.
Good. The more it costs, the bigger our percentage. Spend like you were going to the electric chair, Oliver.
Yes, sir. How are you making out in the parade?
If it comes off, it'll be the biggest thing since Barnum invented the midget. I've got Macy's, Gimbel's, and Saks to contribute floats. Everything is built around the Martian theme, see? Even the horses will have long feelers attached to them and funny-looking extra legs. It'll be sensational.
That sounds fine, only...
Only what?
Mr. Ryan, we don't even know what we're selling.
Oliver, my boy, do you think old Sid Ryan has been sitting here spending all this moolah and not putting two and two together?
You mean you know who Luchar represents?
Just by accident, understand. I have learned that Century Pictures is making a big new epic. One of those expensive pictures they make in secret and then spring on the public because they don't want the other studios to get the jump on them.
What's the picture?
A space opera titled Invasion from Mars. Get it?
Oh, I begin to see.
Also, by mere coincidence, it's supposed to have its premiere sometime around June 1st. You follow me?
Yes, but Mr. Ryan, Century has an exclusive contract with New Features Syndicate for all their publicity.
Suppose Century Pictures doesn't like the way New Features is handling their stuff. They want to get out of the contract, but new feature says no, so they have to get around the contract. A man named Lucha, client unknown, starts publicizing the Martian invasion. Need I go further?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Ryan. Sounds pretty far-fetched to me, but I don't know.
That's what I like about you, Oliver. You're so innocent. Now, let me talk to Commissioner Patrick, please. Sid Ryan.
Hello.
Commish, Sid Ryan.
Oh. How are you, Ryan?
Fine.
What is it this time? You want to drop a man off the Empire State Building into a teacup full of water? The answer is no. Also, we're not arresting any fan dancers.
You know I don't handle fan dancers. I want a permit for a parade. June 1st, 5th Avenue. It's a Sunday. There's no traffic.
Now, look, Ryan,
Macy's gets a permit. Gimbel's gets a permit. The American Legion gets a permit. The Sons of Aaron march every time Morton Downey sings The Wearing of the Green. Oh, don't give me a hard time, Patrick. This is too big. I have the 5th Avenue Merchants Association behind me.
Okay, Ryan. Fill out the forms. I'll pass them along to the license commissioner.
That's my boy.
By the way, what's the occasion for this parade?
Well, don't you read the papers, Patrick? June 1st is Martian Day.
How is the campaign going, Mr. Ryan?
Like wildfire, Mr. Lucha, like wildfire. Everybody and his brother is going along with the gag. Yesterday, we distributed 50,000 Martian hats to school kids. I got some of the merchants doing World of Tomorrow displays in their windows. Every big novelty manufacturer in town is climbing on the bandwagon. They want to get into the parade with floats, giveaways, anything. Everybody smells a buck to be made. I wouldn't be surprised if the mayor himself declared Martian Day. I've even arranged for Commissioner Patrick to accept a $50,000 check for the Policeman's Benevolent Fund from the man from Mars. Oh, it's terrific, terrific. My blood pressure's up to 200.
Excellent.
I understand Century Pictures spent over $1 million making that space opera.
I beg pardon?
Oh, come, come, Mr. Lucha. Sid Ryan wasn't born yesterday, you know. I know who our client is, even if you don't admit it.
You do?
Always thinking that's me.
Well, as long as you know, let's keep it to ourselves, shall we, Mr. Ryan? As you once remarked, when these things leak out, it destroys the surprise and ruins the effectiveness of the campaign.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ken Daly speaking to you from our portable transmitter atop the reviewing stand for the much-heralded Martian Parade on Fifth Avenue. It's a beautiful sunlit day here in New York, a perfect day for a parade. And this is Mr. Sid Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, the publicity man who's the brains behind the Martian Day stunt. Hello, Sid.
Good morning, Kenneth.
Easy. Not so close to the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Sid, you've certainly lifted the lid this time.
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Sid, there's been a great deal of speculation as to exactly what all this is leading up to. I've heard some folks say it's a big war bond drive. Others think it's just to stimulate local business. And I understand in the trade itself, the smart money says you're building for the premiere of Century's forthcoming extravaganza, Invasion from Mars. Now, come clean. Can you tell us what the real story is?
I can. I'd like to, but honestly, I can't.
Oh, man of mystery, eh? Are you going to watch the parade from the stand here?
No, Ken. I can't stand noise. I'm going out to my office and watch it gumping.
Well, thank you, Sid Ryan, and good luck. And here they come, ladies and gentlemen. The first units of the big Martian parade, swinging down Fifth Avenue with fanfare, colored streamers, music, confetti, floats, all the trappings of a Mardi Gras. And here in the vanguard is a whole troop of little midgets in weird-looking pink and blue spacesuits, carrying Rube Goldberg weapons with signs painted on them. See, I can read one which says, Atomic Blaster. Another one has a placard reading, we're Martian through Georgia. This is promised as the climax of the show. And now a great hush has fallen over the crowd. It's quite a sight to see these thousands of people standing here expectantly,
hearing only the great regular sigh of their mass breathing. And now here they come, ladies and gentlemen. The Martians, marching in booted, helmeted ranks, row after row of them. Why, this is an impressive sight, ladies and gentlemen, and a rather serious contrast to the rest of the joyous slapstick parade we've witnessed. There are perhaps, 200 tall, broad-chested men dressed in metallic gray spacesuits with thick glass visors drawn across their faces. Each is holding an ominous-looking ray gun at the ready position. They're marching in absolute silence, keeping step perfectly, as though some mute, unspoken command were marking time for them. The crowd seems rather grim and serious now. Perhaps they're reminded of the actuality of war and possible invasion. They stand solemnly, silently, watching. Even the children are awed. And now the first ranks of the Martians are moving past us down Fifth Avenue toward the reviewing stands at the square. No one moves. What's that?
What's happening?
Oh, there, a woman, ladies and gentlemen. She dashed out into the street. For what reason, I don't know. She attempted to lift the visor of one of the Martian spacesuits, but just as she reached the Martian, she fell forward in a dead faint. I tell you, I've never felt such mass tension in a crowd as we're experiencing here right now, today. All sorts of rumors have begun filtering back through the audience. There are excited whispers of she's dead, she fainted, and now an undercurrent of what? They're really Martians. This is an example of how a single incident can precipitate mass hysteria, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, it's a mighty reassuring sight to see the blue uniforms of New York's finest spaced every 10 feet or so along the avenue. Somehow, I can't explain it, this incident has begun to work on what was a moment ago a happy, carefree crowd, and the complexion is changing.
Did you see that? A woman fainted. Of
course I saw it.
What do you suppose she saw?
Oliver, old man, did I ever tell you you were too naive for this business?
But that young woman ran out into the streets to get a close look at the Martians, and then she screamed and fainted dead away.
I'm well aware of that, Oliver, since I paid her $50 to do it.
What?
The dramatic moment, Oliver, the stock and trade of the good publicity man. Relax.
Holy smokes, you sure think of everything.
Yeah, for my share of this deal, roughly $100,000, I can afford to think of everything. Shut the window.
Don't you want to see the finish?
We'll go down to the reviewing stand for the finish. Right now, I want to make a phone call. By the way, where's Lucha?
I haven't seen him.
Well, he'll be around.
Boy, those Martians sure look like the real thing.
How would you know the real thing if you saw it, Oliver?
Well, gee, I don't know.
Close the window, Oliver.
Oh, yes, Mr. Ryan.
Sorrel's Talent Agency.
Sammy, this is Sid Ryan.
Say, listen, Sid, I was going to call you. I'm awful sorry about those Martians.
What do you mean, sorry? They're terrific.
No, don't joke, Sid. I mean it.
Well, I mean it, too. They're great, great.
Are you in the bag?
Never felt better.
You mean it, don't you?
Of course I mean it. What is this?
There are Martians in the parade?
About 150. Of course, I only ordered 50, but
Sid,
under the circumstances...
Sid.
What is it?
Sid, don't you know? I couldn't get you a single movie extra. There's a studio strike in New York. I was going to call you, but I figured...
Hey, wait a minute. Where'd these guys come from if you didn't hire them?
I don't know. Maybe Oliver...
Oh, hold on. Oliver?
Yes, Mr. Ryan?
Did you hire those Martians?
No, sir, I...
Sammy, this is on the level, isn't it?
Honest, Sid, I...
Okay, Sammy, I'll call you back.
What's the matter, Mr. Ryan?
I don't know. I just don't know. I've got to locate Lucha. What's Century Pictures number?
Mr. Ryan, this is Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Well, get me their publicity director, Marty Sanford, at home.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sanford?
Marty, this is Sid Ryan.
Oh, hello, Sid. How's the big
promotion? Fine, fine. Listen, Marty, this is dead serious, on the level. Get it?
What's wrong?
I've got to locate Lucha.
Lou who?
Lucha, come on now, Marty. This is life and death. The guy you sent over to hire me for the invasion picture.
Invasion picture?
Invasion from Mars, the space opera.
Are you batty?
Marty.
That picture was shelved last month.
What?
Sure, back in the can. Too expensive and too fantastic. The big shots decided you can't sell a Martian invasion to the American public. And I never heard of a guy named Luke.
Mother heaven.
What is it, Mr. Ryan? You look terrible.
That's too fantastic.
What's too fantastic, Mr. Ryan? Is something wrong?
Open that window. I want another look at those Martians.
Yes, sir.
Look at them. Oliver, you were in the Army. Could 150 movie extras learn to march like that in, say, 24 hours?
Not in 24 days, Mr. Ryan.
Not a second's hesitation. Not one other step. Look at the way they carry those ray guns at the ready. The only other time I've seen troops march like that was in a film of the Nazi storm troops marching through the streets of Paris. See those chests on? That's pride. Sheer, arrogant pride. Look at those chins. That's contempt. Nobody could act like that.
Mr. Ryan!
Oliver, get down there. Find that woman who fainted. Her name's Gloria Montex. Get her up here. Make it fast.
Here she is, Mr. Ryan. I can't get much sense out of her.
Stay away from me.
Gloria, it's me, Sid Ryan.
Oh, don't kid me. You're a Martian.
Gloria, settle down.
No, you're wearing a mask.
Baby, it's me, Sid.
And underneath, it's awful. It's all big green eyes and those feelers like a catfish.
Baby, snap out of it. Listen, what happened down there? You ran out and screamed like I told you, but the fainting, that wasn't in the act.
Oh, go away, please. Go away.
What'd you see?
Oh, no, please. It's too awful. Please, please.
Just one question, baby. Inside that helmet, what'd you see?
You won't get anything out of her, Mr. Ryan. She needs a doctor.
Okay, Oliver, I've heard enough anyway. You take care of Gloria here. Get her a drink.
Where are you going?
To see the commissioner. We got to stop this parade before things begin to happen.
Okay, Ryan, what's the beef?
Listen, Patrick, I don't know what it is, see, but something's wrong. You got to stop that parade.
I suppose you'd like the riot squad. That would get you a front page spread on every paper in town. Honest, you publicity guys give me a pay.
This may be a matter of life and death.
Oh, sure, sure. Look, Ryan, I've got no time for your cheap publicity gags. I'm a busy man.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you I don't know where these Martians came from, who they are, or anything about them. All I want you to do is stop the parade and make sure they're on the level.
Ryan, I'm wise to your tricks. If you let the sergeant show you out...
You won't do it, huh? An honest citizen appeals for protection and you refuse it.
I most emphatically do. Now beat it.
All right, Patrick. I'll go right to the mayor's office. I'll have you busted flatter than a fried egg.
Go ahead. I'm sure his honor will be glad to toss you out on that phony nickel-plated skull of yours.
You heard me, Ryan. You cannot see the mayor.
Adolf, please. This isn't a gag. I don't want publicity. All I want to do is maybe prevent something horrible from happening.
In case you don't know it, wise guy, something horrible is already happening. A couple hundred little kids are in the hospital with ptomaine poisoning from that phony Martian candy you passed out. Or didn't you know?
I didn't. We've got to stop that parade.
Sure. Sure, you'd like nothing better than to start a panic now. Maybe a few hundred people would get trampled to death. Think of the newspaper space that would get you and your product.
I won't stand for this, Adolf.
You won't have to, because you're going to get out of here right now. Go on, beat it. Get out. You and your publicity stunts make me sick to my stomach.
Oliver! Oliver, where are you? Oliver! Oliver!
It is useless.
What?
To scream at him, Mr. Ryan. Your friend is quite dead.
Lucha.
He wanted to run to the police with some story about a Martian invasion. I found it necessary to restrain him.
Restrain him? You stinking murderer!
Now, Mr. Ryan, collect yourself. After all our planning, it wouldn't do to have everything spoiled, now would it?
Lucha, start talking and talk fast, because when you get through, I'm going to take you apart piece by piece. What's this all about?
But surely you know, Mr. Ryan, after all, you've been publicizing it for months.
Listen, you...
Please, do not interrupt. You see, before colonizing your planet, we Martians sent advanced scouts to study your habits, your weaknesses. We found that the people on Earth are predominantly conditioned by advertising and publicity, and so we conceived the idea of treating our entire invasion as a vast publicity stunt. Clever, huh? After all, Mr. Ryan, who would suspect an invader who advertised his invasion in the newspaper, invited the public to his surprise attack, and spent millions publicizing his plans?
Holy jumping catfish.
You've done very well.
Then there was no product.
Ah, but there is a product. The product is death.
What are you trying to do, Lucha?
We Martians are a humane people, Mr. Ryan. We do not like to destroy thousands where a few hundreds would suffice. In exactly 2 minutes, our troops will treat the world to a spectacle of death, which will bring the rest of your planet to its knees in horror. Nations will clamor to surrender.
Perhaps, Mr. Lucha. But not if I can help it. You...
Yes, please.
Operator, this is Mr. Ryan. Get me the field telephone on the reviewing stand of the Martian Day Parade. Hurry.
Anyone in particular?
Just hurry.
Reviewing stand, Sergeant Cassidy.
Get me Commissioner Patrick.
Hello.
Hello.
You'll have to talk loud.
I want Commissioner Patrick.
Oh.
Patrick!
Wait a minute. Things are quieting down. Now, what was it you wanted?
This is Ryan. I have to talk to the commissioner. It's a matter of life and death.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can't talk to him now. The chief Martian is presenting the PBA check to him. The Martians are going to fire a salute.
Listen, you got to stop him.
What?
Stop him!
I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan.
You idiot! The worst is going on!
This is the operator. I'm sorry, Mr. Ryan. You've been cut off. I can't seem to get them back.
Doesn't matter, operator. Nothing matters now.
X Minus One on Tuned To Yesterday from May 1st, 1955 on NBC. The second broadcast of the series, which would wrap up in January of 1958. And that closes this hour of sci-fi on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVeunier. It's been a pleasure.